I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
May the works that I've done speak for me. May the life that I live speak for me. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. I'd like to thank Mother Anita for once again giving me such an easy reading for the sermon tonight.
Of course,
Jeff. It's kind of you.
Because I love you.
Thank you. So, in the past, I have shamelessly used my children as illustrations and get to do so again tonight. When my kids were younger, my wife and I would take them to fast food establishments. Whilst much more prevalent now, even then, we would pass people on the street asking for change, whatever we could spare. As a young family, that often wasn't much. But we did have enough for McDonald's. Not much of a disposable income, but we did have a disposable income. So occasionally we would pass one of those people on the way. Once inside, we would order a meal, an extra meal for that person. Bonus points if they had an animal with them, as we would then buy food for the animal as well. Then Julie and I would watch from the safety of our car as we sent our toddlers over to give a meal to a stranger. It was just 2 months ago. I don't know if you remember. There was an ad during the Super Bowl. It caught my attention, knowing even back in February that I was going to be doing the homily tonight. I had a eureka moment, if you will, or an epiphany. For those of you who don't remember or may not have seen it, there's an ongoing ad campaign called He Gets Us, funded by a nonprofit called Come Near. This particular commercial featured vignettes of people having their feet washed in various settings. These were flashpoints in today's culture. The public high school, a dark alley, on the border, a political rally, and yes, an abortion clinic. And in the midst of each of these scenes is a person washing the feet of someone we are to assume is on the opposite side. As you can imagine, that caused quite a furor in various online groups. Just after the airing during the Super Bowl of all things. Many of the discussions that I participated in centered not so much on the content, but the cost. All that money spent on a commercial may have been spent, might it have been better spent on a homeless shelter, or even a food bank. Today's gospel reading has Jesus washing the feet of the disciples, showing that while, yes, he is the master, the rabbi, he's also their servant, their brother. I'd like to draw your attention to another foot washing story in the Bible, in John's gospel, in fact, this one of Mary washing Jesus' feet that we heard last week, John 12. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the fragrance was filled with the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. One of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given away to the poor?" It's been 2,000 years since these events in the Bible. 2,000 years have passed, and it still has things to teach us. We are still arguing the same points, still fighting over the same piece of land, still fighting over how to best use the money to help the poor. To paraphrase Matthew 25, when you helped the sick and the poor and the needy, you helped me. Tonight, we're going to reenact the foot washing. My question for you, knowing what was to come, if Jesus could welcome Judas to the table at the Last Supper and wash Judas's feet, can we do any less? Most of us have taken the time today to make ourselves presentable. Some went out for pedicures. Some put on a clean pair of socks before coming to church. There are people outside the door of the church who can't do that, who wouldn't feel welcome coming here tonight, knowing what we're doing because of their appearance. Should they let that stop them? Should they not feel comfortable coming to worship at any service? We take meals to Primavera. We have other outreach, other ministries. Is that enough? Do we do enough? This evening is a beautifully meaningful part of our liturgy. Stripping the altar has always been deeply moving for many. Imagine someone sitting out there in the dark, watching through those windows. That Super Bowl ad shows the church, small c, shows Christians out amongst the people doing good. Can you do more? I'm not suggesting going out and washing feet of people that you find on the street. Let's not do that. Maybe not even giving them money. I understand the issues some people have of doing that. What about food? I'm brought back again to the example my wife and I showed our children of buying an extra meal while out. I realized that I had stopped doing that. So that became my Lenten practice. Every day out, I tried to buy food for someone that I encountered. Never much, but something. It was easy for me, actually. I bought a bunch of Girl Scout cookies. They were right there in the narthex. Bought a bunch of Girl Scout cookies. It's been cool enough outside. I was able to leave them in the car and hand cookies out at stoplights. I did more. We can always do more. I was talking to my girlfriend the other day and said, while I make my living using words, my life can be reduced to a bumper sticker, trite as it may sound. If not me, who? If not now, when? Jesus knew the answer to that and acted upon it. 2,000 years later, we commemorate the results of those actions, starting now. Amen.